Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
After so many chapters in Jeremiah dealing with God's judgment upon the sins of his people Israel, the prophet turns his attention to the judgment upon worldly nations and governments. The height of this judgment is centered on the one nation throughout history that has been the greatest evil and the greatest offense to God, Babylon. In chapter 51, Jeremiah utters these prophetic words about what will befall this evil city. And Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come on Babylon, even all these words that are written concerning Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, "When you come to Babylon, see that you read all these words and say, 'O Jehovah, you have spoken concerning this place, to cut it off, so that nothing should dwell in it, neither man nor animal, for it will be an eternal desolation.'" But as severe as this judgment sounds, it was not the final judgment against this mighty city and what it represents. For at the end of the New Testament, the judgment of Babylon is once again a key factor in the events related to the end of this age. What is this city, Babylon? What does it represent? And why does it occupy such a prominent position in the history of mankind and all that stands against and opposes God? We will consider the judgment of Babylon on today's program. And Bob Danker has joined us. Not an easy task to accomplish in the 20-some-odd minutes that we have before us, Bob, but we'll do what we can.
Yes, Chris, this judgment that is mentioned here in chapter 51 of Jeremiah on Babylon is very, very significant. And we really need to see the history of Babylon in the entire scriptures. Actually, as we will see, Babylon begins in the book of Genesis, and Babylon ends in the book of Revelation. So, in a sense, Babylon goes from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, and all of the words of judgment that are spoken in Jeremiah chapter 51 will ultimately be carried out on Babylon at the end of this age,
right,
as the book of Revelation shows us.
Bob, I'd like to, in the beginning here, for an introduction today, for the sake of those with us listening that have maybe not studied a lot of these things in the Old Testament, a lot of the prophecies, give a little summary of what we have in Scripture as a background before we touch the matter of the judgment of it.
Yes, Chris. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a very troubling dream, and this dream is really quite marvelous. In his dream, he saw a large human image. And this human image had a head of gold.
Right.
It had a upper body of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And it had an abdomen and thighs of bronze. And it had legs of iron and toes that were a mixture of iron and clay. And according to Daniel's interpretation of this vision, these four sections of this great human image represent four great empires that would arise, beginning from the first empire, which was Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Babylon was the first empire because Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "You, O king, are the head of gold."
Right.
Then the section of silver represents the next great empire that would overthrow the Babylonian empire and would take control of the inhabited earth. That was Medo-Persia. And then after Medo-Persia, there was another empire symbolized by the bronze. That empire is the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. And following the Greek Empire, there was a fourth empire, the Roman Empire, under the Caesars of Rome. And that symbolized in Nebuchadnezzar's vision by the legs of iron and the toes partly of iron and partly of clay. So we have four great empires: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And this is a prophecy given 550 years before Christ.
Wow.
That prophesies concerning the succession of the world powers that would come after Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. It's a tremendous vision. But the most striking thing about this vision is that at the end of the vision, a stone, not cut out with human hands, comes and strikes this human image, not on the head, but on the toes.
Yeah.
And by so doing, this stone demolishes the entire image and makes it like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind comes and carries it away.
Wow.
And it will never be recovered, restored. And then, finally, this stone becomes a great mountain that fills the whole earth. And actually, this stone is a symbol of Christ, who will come at the end of this age to destroy the human governments on this earth that are represented by that great human image. And he himself will become a great mountain, which is the kingdom of God, to fill the entire earth. And the whole earth will become God's eternal kingdom.
Well, let's join Witness Lee as we look now specifically at the judgment on Babylon prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. And of course, at this time now, Nebuchadnezzar has come and carried away the nation of Israel by and large into captivity. Destruction had fallen upon the city of Jerusalem, the temple, the palaces, and the holy sanctified vessels had been carried away and profaned by this king. And so God certainly will have his judgment and wrath on Babylon.
We come to judgment on the nations at the end. And the end is on Babylon. According to the Bible, in the eyes of God, the human government on this earth is altogether Babylonian from the beginning to the end. And this is proven in the big human image in Daniel 2. There you can see the big human image is altogether Babylon. We know the source of Babylon was Babel. Babel in Genesis chapter 11 was the first nation that was constituted by man against God, to exalt man and to worship Satan in all the idols. There we could see a mighty man by the name Nimrod. And Nimrod was a type of Antichrist. Nimrod was the first that formed Babel. And Babel was continued by Babylon. And Babylon, in God's eyes, was the ending of the human government. In the Bible, you go to the end of Revelation. You can see Babylon was mentioned there in two aspects, the religious aspect and the physical and political aspect. And the Babylon mentioned in Revelation there actually was the city of Rome. Even today, we are in the continuation of the Roman Empire. In the big image, human image in Daniel 2, only four empires are signified. The Babylonian Empire, then the Persian Middle Empire, then the Macedonian Grecian Empire, and fourthly, the Roman Empire. So in the eyes of God today, is still the Roman Empire.
Bob, it can get more confusing still when we realize, especially in Revelation, that Babylon has these two components that you refer to, a religious and a material or political. Okay, this is mostly touching this second part now, the political Rome, the political Babylon. And Revelation identifies Babylon as a city on the seven hills, which we know, of course, is Rome. But talk about the principle here that is really being presented by the vision that Daniel saw and it carried out all the way through the history of mankind in all of the human governments.
Yes, Chris. If we go back to Genesis 11, of course, concerns mankind on the earth after the flood. So the flood came, cleared up the whole human race, and God had a new start. But one of the descendants of Noah, a descendant of Ham, the descendant's name is Nimrod. This Nimrod formed a kingdom on the earth, and God never intended that man would form nations on the earth. Nimrod's purpose in forming a nation was to declare independence from God, to have his own government and his own kingdom on the earth. And we know from reading Genesis 11 that eventually that race of men that was living at that time eventually rebelled against God to such an extent that they built a tower that reached up to heaven. History tells us that on this tower there were the names of idols. So this tower represented man's rebellion against God, man's exalting of himself instead of exalting God, and man's worshiping of idols. So the whole race of mankind became idolatrous, man self-exalting and opposing against God. And of course, God came in to judge that race. But the principle of Babylon is seen here. Babylon's principle is to oppose God, to exalt men, and to worship idols. And this shows us the real characteristic of all human government on this earth.
Yeah.
There really is not one human government on this earth or in human history that is really for God except the kingdom of Israel, of course. But all the nations, the Gentile nations, the governments there, they do these three things. They exalt men, they oppose God, and they worship idols. And so human government from the time of Nimrod in Genesis 11 to the very end of the Bible in Revelation 18 is really Babylon and is in the principle of Babylon to oppose God, to exalt the self of man, and to worship idols. So this entire system of the world, which is the satanic system, is something in opposition to God. And we can see here in Jeremiah that it was Babylon that destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple of God on this earth and carried God's holy people into captivity. Babylon is God's enemy.
So this principle, of course, is carried forth much beyond the time of Jeremiah, and that judgment on Babylon, foretold by Jeremiah in chapter 51, was not the final judgment, but was a preliminary one. The final judgment really is presented to us in the New Testament book, Revelation. So, I've selected a few verses from chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, and he cried with a strong voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the power of her luxury." And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you do not participate in her sins, and that you do not receive her plagues. For her sins have accumulated up to heaven, and God has remembered her unrighteousnesses. Therefore, in one day her plagues will come, death and sorrow and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong." And these are strong words, aren't they, Bob?
They certainly are, Chris.
"Come out of her, my people." Now, this touches also the religious aspect of Babylon, not just the political.
That's right.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee.
The Roman Empire need a further restoration, and that will be the time of the coming Antichrist. Antichrist will restore the Roman Empire and make himself the last Caesar of the restored Roman Empire. In his last 7 years, he made a covenant, a peaceful covenant with Israel, allowing Israel to worship God with freedom. But after 2.5 years passed, Antichrist changed his mind to persecute any kind of religion, especially the Jewish religion and the Christian religion. persecuting all the Jewish people and all the believers on this earth. At that time, Rome, as the capital of the restored Roman Empire, God considered her as Babylon. This means Rome, in a political circle, was a continuation of Babylon and was also the ending, the conclusion of the human government signified by Babylon on this earth. Not only so, in the past more than 10 centuries, the city of Rome is very much involved religiously. So in the eyes of God, Rome actually is the continuation and the conclusion of Babylon.
Bob, many people who are aware of prophecy are looking at Europe these days and this unification that has taken place and is taking place and seeing maybe some significance to the things that are spoken of here. This is on the political side. But also we have the religious side. How do we understand the connection between these two?
Well, I think the connection we can see in Revelation 17, we can see the religious aspect of Babylon. In Revelation 18, we see a political aspect of Babylon. Actually, at the end of this age, there will be a restoration of the Roman Empire. According to Revelation 17, Antichrist will be the last Caesar of the Roman Empire.
Wow.
So when he comes into the scene, he will be the final Caesar of the restored Roman Empire. And that the center of his government will be the city of Rome. Well, in Revelation 17, you see a woman riding on a scarlet-colored beast. And this woman really represents the religious Babylon. And it's said of this woman that she commits fornication with the kings of the earth.
Right.
So this woman, who symbolizes the apostate church, the apostate people of God, who have turned away from God and have a relationship with the human governments on this earth. This, in the eyes of God, is considered as a kind of fornication, having an illegal relationship between this apostate church and the kings of the earth, who are the rulers of the nations of this earth. And, of course, this will be a very culminated situation at the end of this age when Antichrist arises to become the last Caesar of the Roman Empire.
Bob, as we talked about in Revelation 17, we see the judgment of the religious Babylon. And there's an image presented of this woman and a beast having seven heads and 10 horns. And now, beginning in verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains where the woman sits. And of course, we already identified these are the seven hills of Rome. And are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and one has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain only a short time. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but receive authority as kings for 1 hour with the beast. And the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and burn her utterly with fire. Let's go back to Witness Lee, Bob, for our final portion.
When Antichrist will begin to persecute all religion, according to Revelation chapter 17, the religious Babylon will be destroyed at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Then, at the end of the Great Tribulation, the Lord Jesus, after he defeated Antichrist, the last Caesar of the Roman Empire, then the Lord Jesus will destroy entirely Rome as the city. By that time, the physical and political Great Babylon will be destroyed. Have you noticed here in Jeremiah, the first nation was Egypt, and the last one was Babylon. And this indicates after Babylon, there'll be no more human nation. In the eyes of God, once Babylon was destroyed, that's it. There's no record, there's no hint in the Bible that Babylon could be restored. No. Babylon is the most evil thing on this earth against God. Starting from Nimrod forming Babel, ending with Antichrist, who concluded the continuation and ending of the human government on this earth. So God's judgment on the nations will be not ended there in Jeremiah 51, because Babylon will be continued by the Roman Empire. When God will destroy both the religious Babylon and the political Babylon, there will be the end of the judgment on Babylon.
Well, Bob, the political Babylon represents man's rebellion against God, his exalting of self and desire to really exist apart from God. The religious Babylon represents this unholy joining of God's people with the kingdoms and nations of the earth in a very unrighteous and unholy way. And surely we get a sense, I think, by now of the degree of judgment which God will bring on both aspects, political and religious. But I'm encouraged by the verse we read a few minutes ago in chapter 18, verse 4, "Come out of her, my people." Let's talk about that in the remaining couple of minutes we have.
Yes, Chris, after seeing through the clear prophecy in Jeremiah, and then we see the actual carrying out of this in Revelation, we can see God's severe, absolute judgment on Babylon and absolute destruction of both the religious Babylon and the political Babylon. This is the destiny of Babylon.
Right.
Now, what should we, as God's people today, how should we relate ourselves to Babylon? Well, we should come out of it. We should simply follow the Lord to leave both the religious system that has a relationship with the world and the political system which opposes God and exalts man and worships idols. This entire system of Babylon is a snare to us, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. We don't want to be a part of it. And we don't want to share in her plagues,
right?
As John says, Revelation 18:4, "Come out of her, my people, that you may not share in her plagues." So we need to make an exodus, an exit from anything Babylonian, anything that opposes God, that exalts man, or that worships idols, whether it's religion or whether it's politics, anything of human government or man-made religion. We need to come out of this system.
Yeah.
It's all really one system called Babylon, and its destiny is to be destroyed.
The commission here, the calling here, is for God's people not to reform it, but to come out of it. There's no reforming scene here, is there? There's just utter, final, complete, and absolute destruction ultimately.
Absolutely, Chris. It's impossible to reform Babylon. God's way to deal with Babylon is to judge and destroy Babylon.
But not his people.
But not his people. He wants his people to come out of Babylon.
Wow. This is a program that begs more time, but we just don't have it today, Bob. But more opportunities on this subject, I think, will probably come before us as we continue in coming days and future books in our life study journey through the entire Bible. Thanks for your help today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, Chris.
That's all the time we have for today. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wild. Thank you very much for listening.